Somebody Chuck missed today on his prayers. We have a special visitor sitting in the back corner back there. Vienna Tripp's here for the first time in months. It's great to see her. But thank you for the music. Lord, we just thank you for this church. We thank you for just being here. We thank you for those who serve. We thank you for Chuck and Joy and for Jeff and Miriam. Lord, we just pray that you bless each of them this week as they go about your business or as Jeff's on vacation. Lord, we thank you for them and ask that you just hold them close to you. Lord, also we pray that you be with their country. Lord, as it seems to be falling apart, Lord, help us just to continue to lift it up in prayer. Be with their president and just the leaders, that they'll put you first. And Lord, we just ask now that you'd be with Nathan today as he brings us your message. Lord, that you'll speak through him. Lord, thank you for the abilities you give him. And Lord, just help us to apply what he says to our hearts. In your name I ask this. Amen.
Would you take your Bibles this morning and open to Matthew 25? Matthew 25. We're going to be reading the first 13 verses. I got to get it up close enough so I can see it. So, all right, Matthew 25, starting in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came and also, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour."
The world is ending. The end is near. We only have a few years, or maybe as little as a few months, before the end of the world, before climate disaster, before some tragedy strikes on a global scale. The world is coming to an end, and I feel fine. Maybe you've seen a sandwich board like this before. This one was whipped up pretty quick. But I'm sure you've seen people proclaiming messages on the street corner, whatever it might be, whether it's advertising for a furniture store that's going out of business, or the end of the world, or maybe even trying to share the gospel with anyone who will listen. You've probably seen tactics like this. A sandwich board that would declare some message. Today, the message that I'm going to be declaring to you, kind of using my sandwich board, is that the world is going to end. I don't know how, I don't know when, and I don't know exactly what is going to happen, but the world's going to end. However, you, along with me, can feel fine as that is happening. In fact, I would like you this morning to be prepared, ready, and excited for what's coming in the future. That is my goal this morning, that you can be excited about the future. And I'm going to go through how we can be excited and prepared for the events that are coming towards us. Whatever those might be, however they're going to happen, we can be ready for those events. The scripture that we're reading this morning is Matthew chapter 25, and it's the parable of the 10 bridesmaids and how they had their lanterns. And I brought with us a little, or with me a little oil lantern. This is actually probably pretty similar to what they would have been using. Theirs probably would have been like a clay or a pottery instead of glass, but just a basic jar with a cloth wick going down into that oil. And when you light the wick on fire here, the oil is brought up through the, and my wick's a little bit too high there, brought up through that cloth, and it provides light. An oil lamp like this can burn for quite a long period of time, and if they're a little bit bigger, can even provide a pretty good amount of light. And so this is what those bridesmaids were carrying with them. That was the tool they were using as they were preparing themselves for this wedding celebration. Before we get into our message, I had a dream about this last night, and I thought it was just hilarious, so I figured I'd share it with you. I had a dream that I decided to move us all out to our cars, and I would preach the message from in my car. And I got really indignant when you all started to just leave, because you couldn't hear what I was saying. So if I try to convince you to move out to the cars, just don't let me do that. I don't know why I had that dream, but I did. It was very strange. I thought it was funny, though. So I love stories, fiction, true stories, novels, whatever it might be. I love to watch a good movie or read a good book. I love to hear about maybe things that have happened or something that someone's imagination has come up with, and they can tell a story based on that. And one of my favorite stories is called A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's both a movie and a book series, and it starts out, it opens up with the main character, whose name is Arthur Dent, and he is desperately trying to save his home from destruction. The city is working on building a bypass, and that bypass will go right through his property, in fact, right through his home. So they must demolish his house, and then they can build the bypass. And so he's laying down in front of a digger trying to prevent this construction company from tearing down his house. That's how the book opens up, and he's taken away from this scene by his friend, Ford Perfect, who starts to reveal some very interesting information about himself, Ford, and his friend, Arthur, and in fact, even the world that he lives on. Ford, it turns out, is actually an alien. He's not from Earth. He's from the region of Betelgeuse in the galaxy, and he is on Earth to write portions of a book. So he's kind of a journalist or an author, and he's writing a book that's called A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And the purpose of this book is to give people who have never been out into outer space a little bit of help navigating the strange and uncertain circumstances that they'll experience being out in space for the first time. Even stranger still, Earth is about to be demolished to make way for a super space bypass, funny enough. And so Ford takes Arthur on an intergalactic adventure through space and uses this guidebook, A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, throughout the story to help Arthur deal with the strange and uncertain circumstances that he is about to have to navigate. As I said earlier, we are about to enter some uncertain territory. I don't think we're going to go on a space journey. That'd be fun. But certainly we are going to enter some uncertain territory. Some things are happening in our world that we can't quite explain or don't understand or just plain are confusing. When I was doing the study for this sermon, and it actually is still currently going on, but a global climate strike was in progress. And at the time I was studying, there was 3,753 days left to stop climate catastrophe. I'm not sure how striking against the climate will change anything, but that was what we were told. We were told that we have 10 to 12 years to figure out a solution. Otherwise, life on Earth will be radically changed. There are rumblings of peace and war in the Middle East at the same time. If you followed the elections in Israel, very interesting things are happening in the nation of Israel, politically and on a global scale with Israel. Morality and ethics seem to have just flown out the window, and truth seems soon to follow. Even strange geological and astrological events are happening more and more regularly. There are storms and forest fires and blood moons. What does all this mean? What is going on, and how can we navigate this uncertain time? Well, thankfully, like Arthur, we have been given a guidebook. We have been given a book that can help us navigate uncertain times. And certainly the entirety of Scripture is our guidebook. But today I want to focus on a very specific portion. We have a guidebook to the end of the world. And its author is not an alien from the region of Beetlejuice, but is Jesus Christ himself, our Savior and our Lord. He wrote, or rather, he spoke a message, and it became titled The Sermon on the Mount. I mean, it was titled such because he gave this sermon or message while he was on the Mount of Olives. And in this message, he talks about how we ought to behave in the times that are uncertain, up to the end. What should we do? What is the right thing to do? How should we act? How should we interact with our world? He gives us lots of great instruction in the Sermon on the Mount. And so that is kind of our guidebook to the end of the world. We have a hitchhiker's guide to the end of the world. The passage we're focusing on today is a parable that he tells. And it's a story about 10 bridesmaids who were preparing for a wedding celebration. And in those days, a wedding celebration would take sometimes many weeks. It was a much more involved process than we experience now today, even though weddings are still very involved in our day and age. But at this point, Jesus is telling a story, and what would happen is the groom would go to the bride's house with his groomsmen, and they would bring the bride from her home back to his home. And then the wedding festivities would commence when the bride and the groom arrived at their new home. And so that is, we're in the in-between point in this story. The groom has gone away to get his bride, to retrieve his bride, and Jesus picks up the story at that middle part where the bridesmaids are waiting for the groom and the groomsmen and the bride to return so that the festivities, so that the wedding celebration can begin. And as we read this morning, we read about the wise and the foolish, the five that brought the right tools and knew how to use them, and the five that didn't bring the right tools or know how to use them and let their focus get taken away from what was truly important. If we follow the steps in our Hitchhiker's Guide to the End of the World, we can be ready for whatever is coming our way in the future. We can be ready for those things that come. The first step that our guidebook lays out for us is to bring the right tools. We can be ready for whatever's coming if we bring the right tools. Take a look with me at this parable. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were sensible. When the foolish took their lamps, they didn't take olive oil with them. But the sensible ones took olive oil in their flasks with their lamps. Since the groom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. In the middle of the night, there was a shout, "Here's the groom! Come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. So I find it very interesting that we have these two groups in this story, the wise and the foolish, the sensible and the foolish. There's only a few distinctions between these two groups. One of those distinctions being what they brought along with them in preparation for this wedding party. Now, we don't know why the groom was delayed. We don't know how long he was delayed for, but we do know there was a longer period of time than was expected. They were not ready, the foolish, were not ready for this longer period of time for waiting. And because of that, they were worried that they would not be able to perform the duty they had been assigned. We're not going to be able to light the way for the bridal party to return. The two groups, like I said, are described in exactly the same way. They're virgins, they're bridesmaids, they're part of the wedding party. They all brought lamps. They are all performing the same task. Their job is to light the way for the return of the wedding party, the bride and the groom. In fact, in this section, the only distinction is what they brought with them. The wise brought their lamps, and mine's about to go out here, so I might be a foolish bridesmaid. The wise brought their lamps and extra oil, just in case something goes wrong. The foolish brought their lamps. They brought the right tool. They didn't bring enough, and they didn't necessarily know how to use it right. They didn't properly prepare. That's the only distinction in this section. In fact, they all fell asleep. It says that the wise and the foolish fell asleep. If these bridesmaids were to have been ready for the groom, the first step they ought to have taken was to bring the right tools and to know how to use them. And it's the same for us. We are kind of in this time period of waiting. Oftentimes the church is described as the bride of Christ. And we are waiting for Jesus to return for us. However that shakes out, like I said, there's a lot of different opinions and ideas and interpretations. And if you want to talk about that, it's my favorite topic in the whole world. So we can discuss it later. This morning is a time to focus on how we can be ready. We're in the same place. We're waiting, just like those bridesmaids. So for us, our first step to being ready for whatever comes is to bring the right tools and to know how to use them. We can be ready for the end of the world. I don't want that to be scary. I want that to be exciting. We can be ready. We have our Hitchhiker's Guide to the End of the World. The first step is to bring the right tools. The second step for us to be ready for the end of the world, for whatever's coming, for these uncertain times, is to not be distracted. Do not let your focus be swayed from the task at hand. Continuing on in the story that Jesus tells, starting in verse 8, it says this: "The foolish said to the sensible, 'Give us some of your oil, because our lamps have run out.' The sensible ones answered, 'No, there's not going to be enough oil for your lamps and for ours. Go instead to those who sell and buy more oil.' When they had gone to buy some, the groom arrived. Then those who were already there went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the rest arrived and said, 'Master, Master, open up for us.' But he replied, 'I assure you, I do not know you. Therefore, be alert, because you do not know the day or the hour.'" So, lots to unpack here. First, I want to make a couple quick notes. One, at this time period, obviously, they're falling asleep, so it must be nighttime, and they need lanterns to light the way for the groom, so it must be night when this is taking place. Why are there shops open for them to go buy oil? In fact, during the wedding ceremonies were such a big event that shops supplying things like oil or foodstuffs, drinks, would actually stay open the entire course of the wedding to provide food and whatever might be needed for this wedding party. So it is actually practically possible for them to go get more oil. That is available to them. Now, I'm not saying that's the right way to do things, but it was available. And then the next note that I would like to make is this. Verse 12 can be kind of a scary verse if you don't understand it in the context. He replied, "I assure you, I do not know you." And at first glance, you might say, uh-oh, did they just lose their salvation? Or can I lose my salvation? Or what does this mean? Is God going to tell some people that he doesn't know them, even though they've been living for him? I want to make it clear that this doesn't say, I don't know you anymore. It says, I don't know you. So we can assume that those bridesmaids who were foolish were merely putting on a show for the groom, were merely living the life but had not had the change of heart to make them truly part of that bridal party. This is not a call to you have to work to hold on to your salvation or you can lose it, or if you don't bring the right tools, then bummer, you're not going to make it into heaven. This is simply, there are people in our lives, in our world, in our churches, who may not have begun that relationship with Jesus. And so he will say to those people, I never knew you. Not I don't know you anymore, but I never knew you. So do not be afraid of that verse. Jesus wanted to teach in this portion of the story that spiritual preparedness isn't transferable from one person to another. So the bridesmaids, their event was physical. Their event was a wedding. It was going to happen, and it was here on this earth. For us, much of what is coming in the future has much more spiritual connotations to it. And so Jesus is teaching that if you don't bring the right tools and know how to use them, and if you let your focus be taken away from your task, that no one else can transfer that preparedness to you. No one else can make you prepared. It's on you. It's your responsibility. What happened to these bridesmaids? Well, they were distracted. So they neglected the first step of bringing the right tools and knowing how to use them, and that made them lose focus on their task. Remember, their task was to light the way for the groom and the bride to return to this wedding party. And they had to go somewhere else. They had to do something else. They had to go get more oil. They lost focus on what their task was. Because when they were getting more oil, their task was not light the way for the groom. It was go get more oil. And so they lost their focus on their task at hand. How often do we lose our focus on our task at hand? While we're in this waiting period, while we're waiting for things to happen, while we're waiting for Jesus to return, we have a task. We have roles to accomplish. We have jobs to do. Do we keep our focus on those things? The church has known for 2,000 years that Jesus may return at any moment. And yet we don't keep our eyes, our minds, our diligence focused on that fact. And as a result, I think that is part of the ineffectiveness of much of Christianity today. If you were in Sunday school, we talked about how can you be less Laodicean. That means there was a letter in Revelation that was written to the Laodicean church. And they were lukewarm. They weren't effective ministers for God. And so as a church, how can we be less Laodicean? I believe one of the ways that we can do that is by maintaining our focus on Jesus' return. I believe that has been lost from Christianity on a large scale. I don't want to blanket every church or every believer, but I think that we have lost our focus on the Lord's return. The bridesmaids lost their focus, the foolish ones lost their focus on the groom's return. So the wise bridesmaids were prepared for the return of the groom because they brought the right tools. Ah, went out. I'm in trouble. the wise bridesmaids were prepared because they brought the right tools, they knew how to use them, and they did not let their focus be pulled away from the task at hand. The foolish bridesmaids were not ready for what was coming because they did not have the right tools, they did not know how to use them, and they let their focus be torn from their task at hand. Despite not knowing the day or the hour, as verse 13 says, we can be ready for the end of the world. We can be ready for the events that are coming that we may not understand or that are uncertain or that we cannot comprehend. How can we do that? By having the right tools and knowing how to use them and by maintaining our focus on the task at hand. So, as a way of application, to bring this home to us so that we actually have something to do with it. The bridesmaids had lamps. That was their tool. They had lamps and oil. And they some brought some didn't. What are our tools? This hits home especially for me because I'm a mechanic, and so I have toolboxes full of tools, and the tool truck comes along, and I'm like, wow, that's a new tool. That's really awesome. I love that. And I have to, like, restrain myself. Don't buy it because it's worth more than my house. But what are our tools? If I have a toolbox full of the latest and greatest tools, and I don't know how to use any of them, they're useless to me. If these bridesmaids, they had the right tool. They had the lanterns. They didn't have the oil to go in the tool. It was useless to them. It was worthless. Some that I thought off the top of my head, the Bible, start there. The Bible, reliable commentary, people who have studied the word and can expound it to you. Spirit-filled preaching or teaching. Are you a part of a church that is teaching the word? In Sunday school, again, that was brought up about our church. You know, Lolo Community Church, where the Bible is preached. Are you participating in Bible studies and classes that are helping you to learn more about what's in the Bible, who God is, how we can understand the Bible? We have things like Bible memorization. If we want to have the right tools with us at all times, the best way to do that is to have it right here. Then you can always have the Bible along with you. Even more on the spiritual side of things, we have like the armor of God or the fruits of the Spirit. Different character qualities or traits that we can strive to put on and use as we approach these uncertain times. Those are our tools, and there are many more, certainly. Just like my example of me having tools at my shop, I have a software program that has access to every translation of the Bible, and I think somewhere in the area of like 30,000 biblical resources, whether that's like a commentary or a Bible dictionary, biblical resources. I can have all of that at my disposal, but if I don't put those into practice, if I don't use those, if I'm not adding extra oil to my lamp, they're totally useless to me. You could have a bookshelf with every translation of the Bible, with every commentary ever written, with every single bit of teaching ever done about the Bible, about God, about Christianity, and if you're not using them, if you don't know how to use them, they're useless to you. So bring the right tools and know how to use them. Be a wise bridesmaid, groomsman. And then how can we maintain a laser focus on Jesus' return? Because that's the second step to being ready for what is coming towards us. One, I was really inspired recently in this regard. My brother-in-law he is now working for a company, an organization called Behold Israel. And they do news and reporting on Israel through a biblical lens. And then they also take trips to Israel to show people the place that the Bible talks about. And his boss recently wrote an article related to the elections in Israel. And if you don't follow the Israeli elections, that's okay. It's a little bit confusing to me. They have a wildly different system than we do. But some really interesting things happened. And there were a lot of Christians kind of worried about what was going to happen because of how the elections in Israel had shaken out. And this this man who runs this company, Behold Israel, took the news that was coming up about Israel, and rather than letting that worry him or frighten him, he interpreted the news using the Bible. And he went through these stories and brought out scripture references that were almost word for word of what he was seeing in the news. And it was so inspiring to see someone interpreting current events through the lens of scripture rather than letting current events interpret or influence how we interpret scripture. So that's one way we can maintain focus on the return of Jesus, is by not being swayed by these climate strikes and global disasters, whatever is coming our way, but rather using the Bible to interpret those events and looking at everything through a biblical lens. The other way that we can maintain a focus on the return of Christ is to not be discouraged by the long delay. It says in the story that the bridesmaids all fell asleep. So clearly there was a long delay for them, and I'm sure some of them were discouraged. If we allow ourselves to become discouraged by the long delay that Jesus is currently in right now, we will lose focus on his return. The best way to not be discouraged, I believe, is to put the tools that we have into practice. So we've kind of got like a circle here. So don't allow yourself to be discouraged. And to not be discouraged, utilize the tools that you've brought with you. Utilize those things like Bible studies, reading the Word of God, praying, memorizing Scripture, listening to sound teaching, or even teaching yourself if you have that opportunity. We can be ready for whatever is coming. We don't know exactly how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, what exactly is going to happen. But I know we can be ready for the end of the world. Arthur Dent was able to face a trip through an unknown galaxy because his friend, whom he trusted, wrote him a guidebook. A guidebook that helped him to navigate those uncertain, unstable times that he was in. We have a much better guidebook. We have a perfect guidebook. We have the Hitchhiker's Guide to the End of the World, written and given to us by Jesus himself. So, therefore, how much more confident ought we be in face of uncertain times and uncertain events because of our guidebook? So while you're reading the news or listening to the news or wondering what is going to come next, do not be discouraged. Be excited. Be ready because you have the right tools, you know how to use them, and you have your focus zeroed in on Jesus' return for us. Praise team, we have a song.